This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and you can watch our TV program on Free Speech TV and on our website. The Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's stand in North Dakota against the fossil fuel industry has set a new standard for activism. Thousands of Americans, Native and non-Native, have converged near the site of a controversial multi-billion dollar pipeline over the past year. Now, a new documentary captures the stunning vistas of the camps, the stories of elders, and the tactics of water protectors for those of us who couldn't travel to witness the movement firsthand. The film is entitled The Spirit of Standing Rock, and it premieres on Wednesday, February 15th on Free Speech TV at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, with subsequent screenings. There's also going to be a Facebook Live chat with the filmmaker who now joins me. Paulette Moore is a Ganyan Gehaga, that is Mohawk, documentary filmmaker, educator, and journalist. She has directed, produced, and written for National Geographic, Discovery Channel, History Channel, PBS, the UN Refugee Agency, and ABC. And her film, The Spirit of Standing Rock, is her newest production. Welcome to the program, Paulette.
Oh, thanks, Sonali. It's so great to be here. Thanks for being interested in these stories.
So before we get into the film itself, I want to play for our audience a short clip from the opening minutes of your film so they can get a sense of what it's like.
I'm happy that this whole world is watching what we're doing here. I'm doing everything I can to expose what's going on up there.
What's going on at Standing Rock is not just fighting a pipeline, it's creating a new paradigm for the way that we are to survive.
I think Standing Rock has been this extraordinary moral beacon across the country at a time when we badly need some deep morality.
Those are the opening seconds of a new documentary called The Spirit of Standing Rock. Paulette, first of all, how did you put this documentary together? What were the elements that went into making it? You were obviously on the ground yourself.
I traveled to Standing Rock throughout the fall three different times. And every time you go there, it's a very different experience. And just so many things happen in the course of any day that you're there. And it's so many, it's kind of appalling and wonderful and hopeful. And just sort of all the experience happening, you know, kind of in this swirling spiritual place. And I collaborated quite a bit with Sarah Van Gelder, who is the co-founder of Yes Magazine and now the editor at large. And so sort of in the spirit of Standing Rock, we did a lot of collaboration on the reporting of the stories, and we were involved in a number of different actions together. One was this beautiful paddle to Standing Rock from Bismarck. The West Coast tribes came out with their canoes made of cedar logs. The second that you see in the documentary is a direct action, actually a call to prayer and ceremony where water protectors were met by the police as they tried to get to a sacred site and pray. And we also talk about the media, the indigenizing of the media that's out there and how amazing these media makers are and how that unique indigenous voice has been so important. And the stories that are coming out because of the technology and because of where we are as a culture, how important those stories are. And Sarah has just written a book called The Revolution Where You Live. And so the film kind of culminates with shots from her trip across the country. She drove for 12,000 miles. And we talk about how the spirit of Standing Rock affects all of us in our home communities.
In fact, we had Sarah on our program to talk about that very book. So, Paulette, I suppose it's quite fitting then, of course, that you yourself are one of these indigenous media people, indigenous storytellers. Tell us about your own heritage and how it has, what it has meant for you to be there to witness what has unfolded in North Dakota and then share that story.
Thank you for asking that. As an Indigenous filmmaker, I spent a lot of time actually in Washington in mainstream media and really became frustrated with the depiction of Indigenous people, feeling like Indigenous people were a backdrop for a lot of the films that I was being asked to make. And so started out kind of on a journey to work with universities and find ways to become an independent filmmaker. And that intersected as well with my own family's journey of reestablishing, restoring our native rights and our enrollment at Six Nations of the Grand River Reservation, where my grandfather grew up. And under the under Canada's Indian Act, we lost our tribal affiliation. We lost the ability to call ourselves Mohawk people, which is just shocking and mournful. And we have reestablished our rights. Most of us in our family have reestablished our rights. And then that also took me down this journey of aligning the way that I'm making films and the topics that I'm covering to align with the values that are inherent in Ganyangehaga Mohawk culture and in Indigenous culture overall. And what I've really begun to see is that Native people are really articulating the stories of our day in the sense that a lot of people know there's something wrong, very wrong, on a lot of systemic levels. What I see in the Native communities, especially here, I'm in northern Wisconsin right now, where I've made two films about a mining issue here, Ojibwe-led resistance to what would have been the world's largest open pit taconite right outside this back door in these beautiful woods. The Ojibwe led that fight in prayer and in ceremony for 4 years. They led a multicultural fight. A lot of people up here were right on the shores of Lake Superior. Lake Superior is less than a mile from me, and then this beautiful wilderness is behind me. And so the people here are very tied to the land, and they let the land and the water really inform them. And they really understand they're tied to their food in the sense that there's a lot of farmers up here, and there's a lot of people who forage up here, and a lot of people who hunt and fish for sustenance for their family. So this is a place that I feel is allowing people to understand how do we reconnect in ways that allows us a map to not destroy our earth. It just makes so much sense if you're gathering your food. And the Ojibwe here set up what was called Harvest Camp, which I consider a precursor to Standing Rock, right on public land where the mine would have been. And they were teaching people. So many people came through from Spain, from all over the United States. They came through, and the Ojibwe are amazing, amazing teachers. And they taught people that you can get maple syrup from the trees. There's wealth in the woods. You can get maple syrup. You can pick a wild onion, and you can eat it.
So essentially, it sounds like that deeper connection with the earth that so many of us have lost, and when I say us, I mean yeah. non-Native Americans especially, have lost, reconnecting can really remind us of the importance of preserving these precious resources we rely on. Even the word resource is actually not the right word. Let's go back yeah. to the film, The Spirit of Standing Rock, your newest film. I want to explore a little bit more some of the stories that you share. The canoes I thought were fascinating. And I've been covering what's happening there as a journalist from afar, but I hadn't seen this or realized this aspect of the story. Tell us about how the carving of canoes from cedar logs became part of the kind of action and act of love and resistance from some of the Native activists and water protectors at Standing Rock.
And I'm so glad you bring up the word love, because I think that in the sense that word isn't used enough, or that word we're talking around the time of, you know, a holiday that's around love, you know. But this kind of big love that we find in the carving of these canoes. So when I arrived, Sarah Van Gelder, who again is the co-narrator on this film, was coming out. She has canoed with these Western coastal tribes in what's called the Paddleton Nisqually, where it's this very ritualistic, beautiful event that happens every summer, every August, and it takes a month, and they go from community to community. Standing Rock Sioux Tribe made the call and asked the Western tribes to come, and they did, and these canoes traveled from Alaska, you know, and all from the Western coast. And when I drove into camp, you know, the communications there, the cell phones don't work, which kind of becomes kind of a wonderful thing, a wonderful act of faith. So I couldn't find Sarah. We came from different coasts. And so I just kind of went around to people who had canoes in the camp and just said, do you know my friend Sarah? You know? And the Kalispell tribe, who you see in the movie, invited me because I was asking them, you know, about the canoe and about the paddle, and they invited me. They're a very small tribe. They're so proud and so amazing. They were gifted a canoe. They were gifted a cedar log a few years ago, and they stepped into this place of faith and this sort of scary, vulnerable place where they were meant to reconnect with their heritage of creating a canoe and digging out this cedar log to create a canoe. And I just loved their process. And I loved how they shared that with me and how they shared their camp with me as well. You know, here somebody shows up with a camera, you know, in the middle of the plains of North Dakota, and they invited me in, and they've become really good friends. And Nathan, who you see carving his paddle, is still out in Standing Rock. He's gone a number of times, and I've just watched him blossom into this beautiful love activist. And he's still out there through all this cold.
Now, one of the other people who you profile, Paulette, in your documentary, The Spirit of Standing Rock, which we'll give people information about how they can watch it in just a moment. One of the other people is a person, Dean Dedman, I think is his name, who was a drone camera operator who offered stunning aerial footage of the camps at Standing Rock, but also footage of police violence. Tell us a little bit about Dean.
Dean is a really passionate person from Standing Rock, and he got his drones up really early.
And he's a member of the Standing Rock Sioux tribe himself, isn't he?
He is. And that technology has just become so important in order to track where the pipeline is going. And as you mentioned, to track police action, police, how much equipment they have, what type, like this equipment has become increasingly militarized, and the tactics have become, there's a lot of psychological operations. There's a lot of, you know, Humvees and military equipment and LRADs. And when you are able to fly over and get, you know, a bird's eye view of what's going on there, it gives you a lot more information of what this action represents to Morton County Sheriff, to Dakota Access Pipeline, and the other agencies that are involved, and also giving the Standing Rock Sioux people an opportunity to see what's happening on these lands that are unceded. This is the territory. These are the territories where their ancestors are buried. And so I just appreciated, he has this plaintive way of speaking, like just mournful. Like when I interviewed him after he brought that drone back, he was just really in a state. I say this in the documentary, he was in a state of shock and in a state of mourning to see that pipeline was going through his ancestors where they walked, and being so close to the water as well, and how much he's connected to that water. And you can really see it's just this undeniable connection. And that's sort of what I was saying, this spirit that invokes this action that is thoughtful, unarmed protesters who are using the technology in important ways. And I think another thing about the technology is the use of Facebook Live. I was wondering why we saw Occupy, a lot of Occupy resistance movement happened on Twitter. And then Standing Rock has really happened on Facebook. And what I realized, it's like Indigenous people need to tell stories. And one of the you know, activist Dallas Goldtooth, who works for Indigenous Environmental Network, early on was the first Facebook Live that I saw. And, you know, he's this kind of big guy with Indigenous Environmental Network, and he's in his auntie's kitchen waiting for food, and he's got like little kids kind of crawling all over him, you know, and people are bringing their whole self. It's like, I have children and I have an auntie and I have food that's waiting for me here. And that's a difference with Indigenous media making. You know, there's a humanness.
There's
you know,
a separation from your whole life. There's an actual authenticity.
Right. There's a real authenticity that makes me feel well. When I saw, when I see people, they introduce their children and they talk about their spouses and actually show that they're quite emotional, you know, and they should be.
So Paulette, the other aspect that your film shares is the very disturbing dimension of Standing Rock. And that is, of course, the police violence against nonviolent, unarmed water protectors. And you have some footage in your film, some of the images and video footage that came out from what we saw last year was very disturbing, but also brought attention to what people are experiencing. And it's important for, I think, for us to understand that's still happening. And there are still attempts by the state and the county, Morton County, to criminalize water protectors. How important was it to show this aspect of the story?
It's really as important.
I mean, it looks like a war zone.
Oh, it's a war zone. Yeah. So, you know, there's all this beauty, which is true. And, you know, this love, which is true. And then 24/7, there are surveillance planes, a helicopter and a plane that fly over. And those surveillance planes include Dakota Access Pipeline security. So hand in hand between Morton County Sheriff, other sheriff's departments, other agencies, they're all side by side with Dakota Access Pipeline security as if they're one force, which I think in itself is shocking. There, there's been economic sanctions through the bridge, the main bridge between the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation and Bismarck. That bridge has been closed now for months. There was first a checkpoint and then the bridge after the October 27th, very violent eviction of Treaty Camp that was like the last ditch effort to try to stop Dakota Access Pipeline from jumping over 1806 on the way to the river. So important to look at that. There's Constantine wire out there, you know, big lights. The second and third time I went out there, especially the third time, it's just like, you feel like you are in a prison. There's these lights that shine down on camp, and then planes flying over constantly. And what that, and I was talking with a student of mine who had gone out there, Jake, and he said, even here now in Ashland, Wisconsin, when you hear low-flying planes, you kind of get a little jumpy, you know, because you kind of get used to that, which is also odd. But the violence that we're seeing out there is appalling.
And in so many ways, Paulette, it's consistent with the sort of technology of violence is consistent with the technology of pipelines and in direct contrast to what water protectors are trying to protect and preserve, which is their connection to the earth and the earth's connection to them. I mean, those contrasts, I think, are very stark in your film. I want to congratulate you on a powerful documentary, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. And you said that beautifully. I just appreciate that. And thank you to everybody looking at the film.
The film is called The Spirit of Standing Rock, and you can actually watch it on Wednesday, February 15th at its premiere on Free Speech TV, which you can find on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. There's actually a website for it, freespeech.org/spiritofstandingrock. It'll air on Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. There's going to be subsequent screenings after that as well. But after the screening on Wednesday, there'll also be a Facebook Live chat with my guest, Paulette, at 8:30 Eastern. And again, my guest has been Paulette Moore. She is a Ganyan Gehaga, meaning Mohawk documentary filmmaker, educator, and journalist. And her documentary is called The Spirit of Standing Rock. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're also on Twitter at twitter.com/RUWithSonali.